Hello, test, test. Okay, hey, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why hast thou rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise thee, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. Okay, Psalm 43 is actually an extension of Psalm 42. If you notice, there's a lot of similar wordings that happen here. And in fact, in some of the more ancient translations or books, actually this is just one psalm. But for all intents and purposes, they divide it into two. But you can almost read it as one whole psalm on its own. And so he starts off and he says, vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. And so probably he's dealing with some situation that has to do with probably another king or another nation that's not only coming against him, but also coming against the nation of Israel. And so this is the case that he's got. And so he's asking the Lord for vindication. He's asking the Lord for justice, basically. This is the heart cry. And then he says here, so one's quite broad, and then now it gets a little bit more narrow. And it says, oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. And so this is a plea. And unjust, meaning that what is happening is not just for him. This is basically unfair, but the also part is deceitful. And so this gets the idea that not only is it the attack coming towards the psalmist, but the attack is also, there's another attack coming alongside the initial attack, which is a cover-up in a certain sense, which is like this attack is happening, but now the men are also deceitful, and so the reality is they're covering up the attack, or I should say they are lying about the attack in itself. And so he's dealing with a two-pronged issue now. He's dealing with an unjust, this injustice is taking place, but also he's also dealing with a deceit. He's dealing with a situation where the person itself, or the people, most likely, again, most likely a king or something like that, in this way, are making a case and then trying to cover up the deception that's taking place. And so in this way, if you think about it, most likely, the idea here is that this person is stuck. This is obviously going back to the sons of Korah, right? These guys are stuck. And so all they can do is go and plead to God and say, Lord, you need to be the one that vindicates me in this place. And so then thus starts the prayer. It says, for thou art the God of my strength. And they ask the question, why have you rejected me? It's, Lord, I can only turn to you, but since you're not answering my prayer, since you have not vindicated me, since you've not brought me out of this situation, why are you rejecting me? Why have you allowed this to happen? And then why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And this is like really in this one verse, in a way, in a nutshell, is really the beauty of the book of Psalms. It's honesty. It's a purity of emotion and thought. And I think what it does for us as a modern reader, it also allows us the space to also be emotional, to also be sometimes frantic, to be sometimes irrational. In this way, because obviously we know God is God, But yet, many times as we walk the earth and we go through situations, we're prone to think these very similar things, and then we may have this idea that we can't think about those things to God. We can't utter these words to the Lord in this way. But we find out through the Psalms that you can. You really can. You can really share your emotions. You can share your toxic thoughts. You could share the deep longing in our soul of, God, why? You know, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? And really, I think when people are in despair, that's why they go to the Psalms. Not only because it's a songbook, but it offers very, very honest prayers. You know, one of my favorite songs, and which incidentally, if you think about this, because the Psalms were so real, if you really think about it, most of our modern worship songs are not that real. And the worship song that, for me, I always find myself going to in despair is, you know that it's an old hymn, Come Now, Fount of Every Blessing. And there's a line in there that is so honest, it's so real, that it's actually so refreshing. And in the one of the choruses says, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And I mean, that song was written ages ago, right? You know, in maybe a time that we thought that people could not be as sincere in that way. But it's the beauty of the agony of the heart and the realization of our frailty, the realization of our irrationality. You know, why would I leave the God that loves me? But that's the reality. Sometimes we feel like that. And when we're in these places of difficulty, that's exactly what comes to us. And in essence, that's the beauty of the Psalms. That, number one, all kinds of people go through hardship. Even the sons of Korah, David, Asaph, others that have written this, Solomon himself, you know, even a man after God's own heart has gone through hardship. And in the midst of hardship, guess what? They cried out to God and they laid bare their feelings and their soul. And God, why did you abandon me? Why did this happen? And guess what? God didn't get angry with them, right? God didn't punish them for that. God actually embraced them and answered the call. You know, maybe this is, I don't know, like I think of it this way, maybe God would rather have honesty from us than respect. Maybe God would rather have us to be very, very honest and very, very truthful to him instead of a kind of a, I don't want to say fake, but maybe a not so truthful reverence that comes. And he does this. He says, Lord, you know, first vindicate me. Lord, you need to do this. You need to work on my behalf. You need to plead this case. Deliver me from these evil men. But Lord, you are the God of my strength, but why have you rejected me? And why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why am I depressed? If you are the God of my strength, then why am I so depressed in the midst of all this? Lord, come. And then verse 3, I mean, this is such a short psalm, right? 5 verses. How amazing is this? But so packed. And verse 3 starts some teachers call a procession of praise. So he does 3 things. He praises in 3 ways, okay? The first thing he does, he says, oh, send thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. This is the first procession of praise. Now, notice something here, and the psalmist is coming to this realization, and I think you will one day also come to the realization that your light and your truth is not enough. In other words, what you can muster in your own mind, what you can fathom in your own morality will just not be enough. And so the psalmist says, Lord, we need your light and we need your truth. My light, my truth is not enough. My light and my truth can accomplish. It cannot save me from this situation. I need your light. I need your truth. And then this is the praise of the prayer is they need to lead me. Let them lead me. This is the first part of the procession of praise. Lord, send your light, not my light, not my truth. Send your light, your truth, and let them lead me. And then, where is the light going to lead you? It's going to lead you to the holy hill. It's going to lead you to the place where God is. It says, let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling places. And this draws the imagery of Mount Sinai. This is Moses going up to the mountain to meet with God. A better translation of this, so we can understand, is actually the word tabernacle. This is a place, the meeting place of God. And Lord, and so this is what's going to happen. His light and his truth will always lead you to the presence of God. It'll lead you to the tabernacle, the place where his presence, his glory dwells. And then what, so that's the praise. Lead me, right? Lead me in this way, your light and your truth. And then two, the place of your presence. And then it's a third avenue of procession, which is really, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And this is really, I know it's a short psalm, this is really, really profound. Because, brothers and sisters, you, every one of us, every non-Christian that's around there, if they would pray this prayer, let your truth and let your light, let it lead me, you know what it's going to lead to? It's going to lead to the presence of God. It's going to lead to the place where God is. And ultimately, now this is not cheap, easy believism, okay? So, you know, let's pause for a moment. You know where else it's going to lead you? It's going to lead you to the altar of sacrifice. The presence of God is going to lead you to the altar of God, where there's going to be some demand placed upon us to sacrifice before the Lord. And it's not a easy, you know, believism in this way, but the presence of God will always lead us to the altar of God. Now, obviously, when we look at this, we can draw from really kind of New Testament imagery to understand this in this way. An easy way of saying it is, if you've ever heard this phrase, I've said it many times, Old Testament concealed is New Testament revealed. In other words, there's a lot of writings throughout the Old Testament that are pointing to something in the New Testament, really of Christ. And really, we can draw this and we can say that this is what they're talking about, right? So he says, to God my exceeding joy, and upon thy lyre I shall praise thee, O God, my God. Well, let me share you the revelation in the New Testament, exactly what this is saying. So turn to Hebrews chapter 13. So Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start at verse 10. Verse 8 is important, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. And then let's skip to verse 10. It says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Verse 15, the key here. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And so, right, Old Testament concealed is New Testament revealed. And in the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals. That's what constituted the altar before the Lord. in the New Testament, now in our, in, I should say, okay, let's make better words. New Covenant, now it's no longer the sacrifice of blood of animals. You know what it's turned to? The sacrifice of praise. It's our lips that utter thanksgiving, even when we don't want to give thanksgiving. It's our lips that offer praise when we don't want to offer praise or give thanks. And it's interesting that the writer of Hebrews, you know, you have to understand the imagery of sacrifice, the blood and all these things are so prevalent. And then the writer says, actually, it's a sacrifice of praise. It's such a different thing. And that's exactly what the psalmist, he says, upon the lyre, I shall praise thee, O God, my God. Notice from the other things that are written above, the psalmist doesn't want to praise God. The psalmist is pretty upset with God. The psalmist has all kinds of issues with God. But there's like a commanding of the soul to do this. It's the sacrifice of praise. So, starts with a prayer. Lord, let your light and your truth, let it lead me. It will lead you. They will lead you. They'll lead you to his presence. But in his presence will lead you to the altar. There'll be some kind of sacrifice. Now, obviously, Jesus sacrificed. He made the ultimate price cost for us. And then he asked us to join in, but our sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise. And then we hear the very similar words that we saw in Psalm 42. So why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And so it's the same refrain that he said a few times in Psalm 42. That's why most scholars believe this is just one big psalm in this, but they said it as two different ones. And we really see the beauty of this idea. And like I said, really the beauty of the Psalms just in general. So let's close our eyes. Maybe when you were young, you heard this kind of saying, honesty is the best policy. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that in Christ and in God, it's the same thing. It's not any fruitful for us to offer up empty words of praise to the Lord. But honesty is the best policy. We can be honest with God. And when you're going through a difficult time, you can say, God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? That's okay. Because I think in the questioning, you'll land and say, hope in God. He is my only hope, my only strength. Brothers and sisters, maybe you're going through a difficult time in this hour, in this season of your life. Be honest with God and put your hope in him. Those who hope in the Lord will never be disappointed. That's the promise of the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament. And as we just sing a song, let this be a sacrifice of praise. It becomes a sacrifice because in the midst of our difficulty, we may not want to praise. That's precisely why it's the sacrifice of praise. And let's offer up our lips to the Lord.
Devoted like a rain of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Amen. Well, let's just pray that. Let's pray as the Hebrews and the psalmists have said. Let the praise always flow from our lips, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation. It's either praise because things are going well and he deserves it, or it's the sacrifice of praise when things may not be going so well. And thus it's, in some ways, maybe even worthier. It's a decision. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Let there be such a freedom inside our soul to just be honest with God. And let's say to our soul, soul, don't be downcast. Let's hope in God. And let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to be saved. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Thank you. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray over Hong Kong. Let's lift up our government. Let's pray that our leaders would rule with the heart of the people, would rule righteously. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's cry out to God for that. Pray for churches all over the city. Pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, sons and daughters, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Let's lift up. Let's cover our staff. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and continue to draw us to Him, that we would serve Him and serve our body with all of our heart. Let's lift up. Pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming barista. Let's ask the Lord to continue to use our leaders and continue to use our servants to create an atmosphere, a welcoming atmosphere in this house. Let's pray for our worship sound and AV teams. Let's ask the Lord to continue to use our worship teams to draw near. You know, we've also been experimenting with an outside contractor for sound. Let's pray that that process would go smoothly. And let's just continue to lift up our AV teams. Let's lift up our ladies that are pregnant, Kathleen, Yiling, and Jade, and others. Let's just really continue to pray for protection. Pray that they would really enjoy this time. They're all new mothers. And so let's also pray for the fathers as well. Let's pray. house church tonight, Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, K House, Old Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our hosts, that really the presence of God will really meet with us as we discuss and share and pray for one another. Pray together. Father, thank you, God. Thank you that your light, God, and your truth, Lord, that they lead us. God, they lead us to your presence, and Lord, and that will ultimately lead us to the altar of sacrifice. And so, Lord, help us, God, to be bold. God, help us to be submitted. Lord, help us, Lord, to be able to be honest, God, to you. And in conclusion, God, let us hope in you. Lord, that's all we have, God. Is to put our trust and our hope in you. So help us, God. Help us, Lord. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.